706 calling.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. It's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife, Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back reaching the world for Christ again. This is his evangelist, Lloyd and Betty Yearwood. We're just trying to get the good news out about Jesus. So if you want to be a part of it, call in on 310-742-1759, and we'll put you right on the line with us here, and we minister to the whole world. So that's 310-742-1759. So I want you to call in and be a part of this service with us. So we got a couple of call-ins here. So 706, Claire, tell us who you are and where you're at.
Brother Yearwood, it's Frieda Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord. Glad that you called in there, sister.
Thank
you. We'll get back with you there in a minute there. 770. Come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, brother, you're with us. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Well, praise the Lord. Glad you called in there, Brother John. 423. Come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
This is Brother Eddie Bolton from Jackboro, Tennessee, Brother. You would. Good to be with you
Amen.
Tonight.
Praise the Lord. Glad you all called in there. So, we're just going to worship the Lord. Our subject tonight is No Other Gods Before Me. So, you know, that's the main important thing. We ain't got no other gods before us. We've got one, and that's Jesus. And I praise the Lord for that. So, if you got any prayer requests, want to make them known at this time, just go ahead and make them known, and we've got some here we're going to give in, and we'll all just pray on them sometime another during the service. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a prayer request?
I just like for people to remember Debbie Davis, that the doctors give her a bad report. And I reckon they give her just a few months to live, and she's not very old, and she needs to move from the Lord tonight.
Amen. Remember that one. Brother John, do you have any prayer requests?
Yeah, just remember, remember my wife, and you know, God's touched through upon her. There's just a lot of we just need God's move in a lot of things. But we appreciate what the Lord is doing. He's answering prayer, so we just appreciate it.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Sister Frieda.
Brought to memory, we got a member that his brother, I don't know if they did the surgery today or not, but he was supposed to go to have surgery today. So, member of his brother, haven't heard anything, so I'm not sure if they did or not, but they probably did. On his colon,
okay.
I think it was, or something. So.
All right, we'll remember them request there, so... I'll let Betty read the prayer request that we've got here, then sometime during the service we'll pray over them.
Just want to thank everybody for coming on tonight, and I just thank God that we got a pastor at our church now. God sent us a good pastor, and I just thank God for that. We have Bobby Henderson. She says that she has a hiatal hernia, and her son that is crippled, his name is Stevie Henderson, and he's in the hospital with a blockage and other problems. So just remember them tonight. And Bob and Clara Hicks, remember them. They need all the prayers that they can get. And Keith Green and Kay Hurd has cancer. They need miracles. let's remember all the listeners. We know that they have needs. And let's remember all of our families that are not saved. And like Brother Eddie said, Brother Debbie Davis needs a miracle. And Sister Debbie Samples and their two grandsons needs a touch from God. So remember all of them.
Praise the Lord. So 937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hello, Brother Yearwood. This is Brother Green, Sister Green here in Springboro, Ohio.
Oh, okay. Glad you called in there, brother. You got a prayer request you want to make known?
Just remember all my loved ones. I got some that are not saved, brothers and sisters, and nephews and nieces, and around us unsaved, and so just keep them in prayer. And that's about it, I guess.
Okay. We got a prayer request come in here from Arizona, I guess. So, will it come? Well, okay. Somebody come in and tell them where it's at.
Sister Peggy Tettenburn says, remember all the brothers and sisters that are being persecuted in Syria.
Egypt.
Indonesia.
Afghanistan.
And all the other parts where they're being persecuted.
Praise the Lord. So we want to remember them prayer requests there too. So I was just going and pray for the prayer request right now before we get started in and pray for the broadcast. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come in for you right now. Lord, we just ask you, God, that you touch every prayer, God, every request, Father, that was made known. Lord, you know who they are. Lord, you know where they're at. Father, we just ask you, God, to stand in the gap and make up a hedge, Lord. Father, that you will just reach down and touch each and every one of us. And Lord, that you'll just move, Father, by your power and by the Holy Ghost. And Father, just touch and God, that you'll deal with
strongholds.
Father, in your own way. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father. For it all, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Sister Frieda?
Yes, sir.
You want to go ahead since you're the person that called in and obey the Lord?
Okay. I'm going to read one scripture for sure. I'm coming from 1 Corinthians 8. I'm going to read from 4 to 6. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in the heaven or in the earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, of whom are all things, and we by him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Brother John?
That's it. Go ahead.
Okay. Appreciate that. You want to go ahead, Brother John, since you're the next and called in and just obey the Lord?
All right. Tonight we are speaking on no other gods before you. Several places in the scripture where it's brought out the first is the commandments of God. And amen. At the time, one of the places there, and I know some of the others will probably be using this, but Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, 2, 3, and says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And, you know, as he come, this is one of the first commandments, this is the first commandment that he had instilled within his people, that he reminded them that he had brought them out of bondage. He reminded them that he had brought them out of their task. Amen. Tonight he brought a deliverance. At the time of the deliverance, he's going back and as the children of Israel came, they, amen, as they come on their journey, and amen, as even as Moses was receiving the very commandments of God, as Moses began to speak to the Lord Jesus Christ or God the Father at that time, face to face, many of those didn't want to come and receive, and they just said for Moses, he that was drawn out of the water, to just go and speak to the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord came down there in Sinai, set up on the mountain, smoke, and these things came, the very presence of God, the kind of glory of God coming, and amen, hallelujah, the one and only true God, just as Sister Rita brought out there in Corinthians, the writings of the Apostle Paul. But we find, amen, that as this was came forth, and as he began to speak to them, and as one of the things they forgot gotten from the Lord, one of the first things is the finger of God is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He wanted to remind them that they brought them out because they were in this very thing because they had other gods. They began to worship other gods and other things. But everything else before the Lord Jesus Christ, or everything else before God the Father at this time. And so we need to know tonight, hey man, I'm going to come out of the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. Going back, I know I've got some others that might have some later on if we have time, but right now, Genesis chapter 2, with starting with verse 15, he said, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. We were charged with two things, amen, as God in the creative beginning of creation, amen, he made all these things in the beginning of creation there, he had made a garden, the Bible says, the eastward of Eden, which was representative of paradise, which was representative of his life. We find, amen, that he took a man that he had formed out of dust, amen, and placed him in the garden to do two things, to dress it and to keep it. The Bible says, and the Lord God commanded the man, God had commanded Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We need to know tonight, this morning, amen, tonight, excuse me, that as he was commanded, the man was commanded that he may freely eat, be freely receiving of every tree in the garden, of every herb that he had given, amen. But there was one tree in the midst of the garden. There was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. When you come to eat, and when you come to take in this knowledge of evil, when you come, amen, where death was lying in this tree, because they were considered a Levitical law, there was no, you were not to touch anything that was dead, because it's considered an unclean thing. We know about this, and the scriptures speak about it, and Leviticus speaks about it in Isaiah. And so he was not only not to eat of it, but not to touch it, not to get around it. But the Bible says, going on down to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, it said, now the serpent was more deceptive than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, here he began to speak unto the woman, the serpent did, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here he was subtle. Here he was crafty. Here he was, amen, cast down. Said the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, that was a great red dragon. It was representing war, amen. He cast down into the havers of the earth. And what did it say? It said, go into the havers of the earth, for Satan has come down. Knowing he had but a short time. He'd come down and
say, amen.
He had a plan. Come on, church. He had a plan to take over, to be God. He had a plan to set his son above the stars of God. His plan from the very beginning, when sin, when iniquity was found in him, when he became guilty before God. Hallelujah. When he became guilty before God, his plan was to set up his throne above the stars of the north, and set up his throne above God himself. He had seen it in him, and there was pride, and there was iniquity in him. That's guilt. Amen. And it came. And so now he had another plan to attack the creation of the Creator, the very life, amen, the very glory of God. And the Bible says, said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God said. And he said unto the woman, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He already knew what he said. He begins to think, and the Bible says there in verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, But the fruit of the tree was in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So,
amen.
You know, we have to understand something. There was another father there, amen. He was the father of liars, according to the scriptures in John chapter 8, verse 44. He has, the only thing he said, he was a liar in the beginning. And we have to understand, as God had commanded and told them not to eat it, now already Eve's in his presence, now already she's adding to it. See, the Bible declares in Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22, it speaks of a time, amen, that we shall not take away from the writings of the books of this prophecy in Revelations. If we take from the writings of the book of this prophecy, the Bible declares, our name shall be taken away from the Lamb's book of life. And
amen.
So that's what causes death to come. Come on, church. We need to know tonight, amen, that we start adding or taking away from the writings of it. He already knew what it said. And she already said, well, neither shall he touch it. So she added into what he had said there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. So it's already in the influence, amen, of other things around. We have to be careful about our circumstances. The Bible says in Revelation 22:19, that if any man shall take away from the words of the book, or let me say verse 18. It says, well, I testify unto every man that heareth the words to the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto them the plagues that are written in this book. One of the plagues that was written in this book was death. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So things are taken away. Just like he said, amen, when we don't come and we have other gods before us rather than the one and true only living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, we are taken away as serves. We are taken away as thorns and thistles. We are taken away, amen, as that which is unfruitful. And so the Bible says here, amen, that here in verse 3, says, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So she is already beginning to add to it. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. It is written, thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Right.
Satan knew this. He was crafty. He knew that if he could get them to set themselves up as God, he knew that if he could get to creation. There's more about that in Romans, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on, maybe in the broadcast tonight. But anyhow, right now we're in Genesis. He said that you know that your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant, see, you got her to begin to look at it. Church tonight, you need to know that there's an adversary tonight that's trying to get you to look at the things of sin. There's
amen.
An adversary tonight, and there's an advocate tonight, amen. The advocate is Jesus Christ. The adversary is Satan. He's the hostile opponent. And you need to know that, amen, that as you have an adversary tonight, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, amen, that you should be sober, be vigilant, for Satan has a roaring lion, seeking who may, he's walking to and fro, he's walking about, seeking who may devour. There's a devourer out there tonight. He's trying to set you up because he's trying to set himself up. It's not about you. He doesn't care about you. There's no love in him, but he's a murderer from the beginning. But you need to know tonight, amen, just like I didn't get the title of my message, but the title of my message is Where Are You Thou? Where are you tonight in Christ? Where are you in the realm of the kingdom of God? Where are you, amen, as far as around there? Do you have other gods before you? And the Bible says, he says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, she says, it says, what did it say? She saw that the tree was good for fruit. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. These were the things of the world. These were the things. You have to understand, there's a God of this world, and that's Satan. He's the God of this age, amen, but this is not God's kingdom. This is a temporary thing because there's going to be an inheritance, amen, amen. And you need to know tonight, amen, he says, love not the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He has got them to separate. You need to know to understand tonight that the Bible says in Romans that, amen, that neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers nor things come, neither height nor depth, amen, the height nor depth, all these things cannot separate us from the love of God who's in Christ Jesus. But when we start loving the things of the world, the Bible says no man can serve two masters in Matthew. Either he'll love the one and hate the other. When you start setting up other gods in your life, whether it's you or anything else, the Lord Jesus Christ is displaced from the throne of your life, and he's no longer there. He's no longer ascending in the throne, and he's no longer the God of your life. He's no longer the ruler. And when you don't have him as ruler, and you don't have him as Lord, and you don't have him as master, then you begin to hate him. You begin to despise him.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
because you cannot love two masters. You cannot love. We need to know tonight that as you begin to love the things of the world, she saw this tree was good for food. For all that in the world is the lust of the flesh. She saw that the tree was good to make one wise. That was the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eyes, she saw. She had a lust in her eyes. You need to know tonight, the Bible says in James, no man is tempted when he is tempted of God, but when he is drawn away by his own lust. Satan began to
Amen.
Speak to her through the serpent in the garden of God who had made. You had everything. Tonight, church, you need to know you have everything that the Lord God has given you, created. He's given you life. He's given you every herb-yielding tree now and every herb-yielding seed. In other words, God is your provider tonight. According to Genesis chapter 22, he said that he is the Lord Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will see to your provision. There is only one Lord, one God, amen, and Father of all tonight. He said, beside me I know not any. He said, I spread above the heavens by myself. Hallelujah. He made heaven and earth according to the book of Genesis, according to the book of Isaiah. As a matter of 2-3, when shall every word be established, written by Moses, the book of Genesis, the first 5 books, that was established. And church, tonight, you need to establish yourself that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is Lord. They had crucified him in the book of Acts, and they said, amen, he said, if they would have known who he was, they would not have crucified him. For God the Father had made him both Lord and Christ. The Lord God, amen, amen. Hallelujah. There in the book of Genesis, amen. And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever, lives forever. He that does the will of the one and only true God lives forever. So when lust is conceived, it brings forth death. That is a passing away. God, the creation of God in Eden, the paradise of God, the delight of God, before it even got started, it began to end because there was one thing. Man could not stay away and make their own selves God. They, even the creator and the creation began to look at itself and wanted to make itself equal. Why? Because they listened to the tempter rather than listen to the one God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Here was a man, here was God that had created, here was a voice. And the Bible said in verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves open.
Amen.
You have to understand their eyes were open. Eyes were open to evil. Eyes were open to nakedness. Eyes were open to shame. Why? Because before, amen, they were covered by the glory of God. Church, tonight we need to be covered by the one and only true God. Amen. He will give you his glory. He said, my glory. In other words, myself I'll not give to anyone else. Neither my praise to any graven image. Hallelujah. Tonight we need to know that Jesus Christ will only give himself to his children. He gave his life for all. But we have a church tonight. We have other gods before the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have other gods in our life? Have we
set up ourselves. The children of Israel had come, and they got tired, and they got weary, and on 39 days they come, and they took their gold that they brought out of Egypt, the bread out of the world, bread out of bondage, and they gave it unto Aaron, and Aaron cast it into the fire, and out came golden calf. Church tonight, we got too many people that got golden calf religion tonight. Too many people that set up idols, just like Sister Frieda brought out in the scripture, amen, and we begin to bow down. You have to understand, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 that God had given dominion over the cattle, dominion over the fish in the sea, dominion over the fowls of the air, dominion over the serpent. Wait a minute. Every creeping thing, everything that was made, man had been dominion, and you know what? You are lost. By Adam and Eve, they had lost the dominion because they listened to that which they had dominion over. Church tonight, you don't need to listen to that which you already had dominion over. Amen. Just as the temptation of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, he said, if you be the Son of Man, cast yourself down. He said, he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple. Amen. He came out of the wilderness after fasting for 40 days. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. He said, it is written, thou shalt not. Hallelujah. He said, it is written, thou, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. You need to know tonight that we live by the word of the one true living God. Not by the resting of the scriptures, not by he who's an imitator, not by he that is a false God, not by he that wants to be God, not by he that would set himself up in the temple, an abomination of desolation in the temple.
Amen.
Not by he that wants to, but hallelujah, but as we come, and the Bible says, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show thee the path of life, and in thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand the pleasures evermore. But see, tonight, church, if you go from the presence of the one true living God, you'll have no joy. The Bible says in Nehemiah 8:10 that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you shall send portions, amen. You shall eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to them that nothing is prepared. Nehemiah 8:10 declares, amen, but without the joy of the Lord tonight, church, there's too many of you want to go from his presence just like Jonah. When he was told to rise up, he said the evil, amen, of Nineveh had come. Amen, 650,000 didn't know the difference between their left hand and their right hand. There, amen, a great city where it took 3 days to go across. He said, Jonah, rise up. Their cry and their wickedness has come before me. Go and cry against them. But you know what? Jonah didn't want to do that. Hallelujah. Jonah went from the presence of the Lord, the Bible says. You need to know something. When you go from the presence of the Lord, you lose your joy. Here's what happened. The Bible says in Joel chapter 1, verse 12, that the vine languishes and wastes away, amen, and the trees of the field, the apple tree, and all of them wither away because the joy of men has withered away. Joy was lost in the garden because, amen, hallelujah, their joy, because they wanted to go away. They hid themselves from the presence of God. They hid themselves from the joy of God. You need to know tonight, some of you don't have any joy because you don't have the one true living God. There's only one way you can get the joy. The Jesus Christ is the joy of the Lord. And he will come and he said, I give you my joy, not as the world gives it unto you. I give you my joy. Tonight, church, you can have the joy of the one true living God. You can have the joy. You can have the peace. You can have everything that he has. He wants to give it to you tonight. And the Bible says that everything around you is dying because the joy has left. You've walked away from the presence of the Lord. Here was Jonah, amen. He went the other way, amen. He knew that God had spoken to him when he went there and got on the ship going the wrong way from the presence of the Lord. A great storm came up, amen. And no matter how much the mariners tried to row and bring it in, they couldn't in the beginning go, and it went down. And you know what? This is like a light. Well, leave me alone. I want to go to sleep. And here he was asleep, amen. But church tonight is not time for you to sleep. And amen. God and true living God. It's time for you to awake. Those of you that are sleepers, it's time for you to rise and awaken. Because where are you tonight? Where are you in Jesus Christ? Where are you in the kingdom? Where are you? Not only where are you, where is your God tonight? Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says it talks about, hallelujah, where is the God of Elijah? But I want to know tonight, where's the Elijah of God tonight? Where's the men and women of God that will stand for the one true living God?
Amen.
The reason why some of you haven't come before God, because you were just like the children of Israel. Moses went up to the mountain, talked face to face. And some of you, amen, there's nothing wrong with Facebook. But you know what? Some of you haven't gotten the Facebook, the one true Facebook, the original Facebook, the Word of God. And some of you haven't got face to face with the one true God like Moses did. He said he talked to him as a man talks to a man. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, if you just get in the Word and get in the face of God and seek His face, the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then we'll hear from heaven and we'll heal the land. There's only one true God that can answer prayer tonight, church. And you need to know tonight, amen, the Bible says, hallelujah, hallelujah. And he said in verse 10, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He was afraid because he hid himself. Fear had already come in. Fear had torment. Hallelujah. He was already in torment. Church tonight, there are some of you that need to sound my voice. I'm talking about a man and woman that was put in the midst of paradise that had everything. And already, just by speaking, some of you have been talking to the wrong side, the wrong God, the God of this world. You don't need to be talking to the Bible. It says, my sheep know my voice, and the stranger they will not follow. You ought to have a conversation. Talk to the one true living God tonight. Hallelujah. But they were already in fear. You don't need to be in fear in the midst of paradise, church. You don't need to be in the fear in the midst of a garden of provision. And the Bible says, and the Lord God called into Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where are you, Adam? Because you're no longer in me. You're naked because you already come out from underneath the shadow of God. He that abides in the shadow of the Almighty. He had already went from the presence. He had already got out from the tree of life. He had already got away from the one true living God. That's your heart know the gods. Or you'll be his gods. Amen. When you touch it, when you eat it. And the Bible says this. And he said, Who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman, you know, that's what we want to do, excuses. The woman which I gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. The woman made me do it. You know, they have that old thing, the devil made me do this. But, you know, Adam gets in there, you know, Adam was made first. Amen. And but hallelujah, but when they come, hallelujah. Where was Adam when the serpent was talking to his wife? Hallelujah. Where was Adam, amen, where was Adam there? Amen. Now, more likely, I know that he had things. I know he was jesting. I know that. But church, you need to know, amen, what's in your garden tonight. You need to know what's in your garden tonight, church. You need to know where you're at in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this. Yeah. Hallelujah. And the man said, the woman which thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat it. Here we have. Well, the serpent done this. Well, the woman done this. And then we go down the line. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read a few scriptures there in Romans. Then I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures that I'm going to get back to. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 7. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 7 says this. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin. His commandments were his law, but by the law. In other words, how did they know this was sin? Because they were told they could eat of every tree in the garden, but in the tree in the midst they shall not eat thereof. That was God's law in the beginning. For I had not known lest except that the law had said, thou shalt not covet or desire. She was not to desire the tree, but she saw it was the tree. She said, but sin taking occasion by the commandment. Here comes the enemy. Once you receive a commandment, you know what it is? That gives you an occasion for sin to come in. Once you receive the commandment, once you receive the law of God, once you receive the word of God, said by sin taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. where there is no law of sin. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Sin had a revival. Once we were commanded, once we, amen, it gave sin to an occasion. How does sin, when the Lord said, that I have never been before me, sin had a revival. How does sin have a revival? Romans 6. That's what Adam was. He was cursed with pain and sorrow in birth because he was so dead. So the good thing about it is, first name, I put it in with it. The one who is living God is coming, and his name is Jesus Christ. And tonight, church, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone, where are you tonight? It doesn't matter where you're at tonight. Because those are God, the one true living God, come. And tonight, he's going to cut his heel and everything that we can see. The Bible says in 15, chapter 15, and the last thing that he's suffering in his feet is death. We even know tonight that we serve that there's only one true living God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. By his compassion, by his love, by his mercy and grace, no matter what you've done, even if you've been able to see a man of your good and evil, amen, there's grace, and there's mercy, and there's compassion, and there's love. And right now, even if he's done all that, it's underneath the feet of Jesus, the one true living God. Amen. He has forgiven you. Amen. If you'll just confess your sins, be faithful and just, he'll be faithful and just and forgive you of your sins. He'll come and he'll heal you. That which he's done, he'll come and be a God to you, and you shall be his people. And to the woman, amen, through her pain and in her sorrow that she brought forth life, he was called to because he's the mother of all living. As he comes, and by his compassion, he said, for his joy and glory, for me, the pain, for the joy of the birth. There's no greater joy than a new birth. There's no greater joy than a baby being born. There's no greater joy than people being born in the kingdom. There's no greater joy than this. So he's bringing his passion to the death of the life. That new life, that new birth will only come from that one true living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, the Lord is cursed for man's sake. Amen. What for pain and sickness? Amen. I know a man who saw these things and sickness is in with Jesus Christ. He hung on the cross and they cut these things and sickness. Amen. Upon his head as a crown. It was the day that he wore my crown. I should have wore those crowns of thorns that he wore for me. And now he's given me a crown of life. He wore a crown of curse for me, but he's given me a crown of life. He took your place tonight, church. He took your place there. And when he's done, you know, the Bible says, and I'm going to go back to another year. It says in Genesis chapter 9, when God said birth, and they come out there, and all the earth there, he gave cards to Adam. He said, go, multiply, and increase there. Noah came out of the ark. At the end, the Bible says, the ground was no longer cursed. God had rested. God had baptized you, and God would baptize you, the Holy Ghost inside tonight. God would baptize the one true living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a super prisoner in his name, God will abide in you. And tonight, right now, there's no other God before. Where are you tonight in Jesus? Where are you in the true God, and where are you in the true kingdom? Go ahead, baby.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother John. Heard about the last 10 minutes. You've kind of got real muzzled on us there for some reason. I don't know. If your phone got the bad part of what? I couldn't understand you there.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know what happened.
That's all right. We heard quite a bit of it. We understand what you were saying. You was real plain all but about the last 10 minutes there. And I don't know what happened there, but we appreciate you anyway. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let Tim come and sing a song. Then, Brother Eddie, we'll get you in there after we give a some prayer requests here.
All right.
Go ahead.
When I wake up in the morning and I rise to face the day, there's a subtle peace within me deep inside. knowing that the Lord is with me every step that I will take. I can face the world around me, He's still God. Well, He's still God, He's not changed by my circumstance today. So I will confess, He's still God. With my heart and hands, with all I have, I will confess, He's still God. Winds of change are always blowing, seems that nothing stays the same. All round and round this wicked world revolves. But I take comfort in knowing there's one cause that remains. Yesterday, today, forever, He's still God. Well, He's still God, He's not changed by my circumstance today. So I will confess, He's still God. When I press hard by nevertheless, all I have, I will confess, He's still God. Well, He's still God, He's not changed by my circumstance, so I will confess, He's still God. When I press on by the death, only try nevertheless, with all I have, I will confess, He's still God. With all I have, I will confess, He's still God. He's still God. He's still God.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song. So I'm going to let Betty read some prayer requests off here and our church announcement. Then we'll, our street announcement. Then we'll get Brother Eddie to obey God.
I just want to say it's good to be back on here tonight, and I want to thank God for the three that were saved at our church Sunday. God's really been moving there. And we got little Jeremiah, 10 months old, that goes to our church. It's got a feeding tube. His little legs are crippled. He needs a miracle. Pray for his mother. She gave her heart to the Lord last weekend. Just pray that God will put the right people in her path that can witness to her and be a witness to her. And we got the Law family, Jack Law. He used to sing with the Inspiration Singers. He has died, so remember his family. And we just got a call a few minutes ago that Mr. Sutton was found face down and that he was turning yellow and that they have rushed him to the hospital. So remember all those requests.
Praise the Lord. So here's our street service then.
Reaching the World for Christ, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood presents two-day City Revival Holy Ghost Street Service, September the 27th and 28th, 2013. The time will be Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. nightly, location between the Madisonville Courthouse and the Volunteer Federal Bank on Main Street in Madisonville, Tennessee. Guest speakers and singers each night, bring your lawn chairs and come out and be a part of this. And looking for signs, wonders, and miracles, expecting to see souls saved, set free, delivered, and healed in these services.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we'll get Brother Eddie on there now and let Brother Eddie just obey the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you tonight. It's good to be able to stand there and witness for the Lord. And I want to bring a message out of the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. It's where Paul went down to Mars Hill, down to Athens, down there. And starting in verse 16, it says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry." And, brother, this whole city was given to idolatry, and probably very, very few Christians, if any. And brother, but his spirit was stirred in him. And I can imagine that when you get stirred up like that, brother, you've just got to let it out. And Paul began to, he said, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the midst, in the market daily with them that met with him. Brother, I want you to know they was people that he disputed with. And brother, we need to be ready. The Bible said that, brother, to give an answer to him that asked you of the hope that lies in you. And brother, we need to be ready to, brother, tell people about Jesus wherever that we see them, wherever we run into them, and we need to be ready to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody might say, well, brother, but what if? Brother, somebody begins to point and somebody says something. Brother, the Bible said there's a time for all things. And brother, I want you to know today that he didn't say to stir up problem, but he said that, brother, that we need to be a witness. And he said that we'd be witnesses unto him. Brother, I want you to know today, he said, that in certain of the philosophers of Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? And others, some, he seemed to be a set of forth of strange God, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Brother, I want you to know, I guess, brother, when he began to teach and preach Jesus, that he rose, that he died for them and rose again on the third and appointed morning. Brother, they didn't know what to think about that. Brother, they didn't know anything about this God that Paul was a preaching. But let me tell you, he said here, brother, thou shalt have no other God before me, but this whole city was given to other gods. But Paul was going to teach them. He was going to preach to them about Jesus, brother, and about what he could do for them. And they took him and brought him to Anagapasene. May we know what new doctrine world thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. Listen to me today. Brother, there's people today that's hungry for the Lord. And the Bible says if we'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. Brother, I want you to know tonight that if we begin to reach out and seek after God, we'll find us, we'll find him, because I believe that God will send somebody to us, brother, when we begin to seek after God and begin to tell us and teach us. It was like the eunuch said in the chariot, reading in the book of Isaiah, and the Lord spoke to Philip and said, join yourself to the chariot. And he went up and he asked that eunuch, he said, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I except some man teach me? And brother, I want you to know tonight, brother, that God, he sent preachers to preach the word of God. Brother, that's what Paul was doing, and that's what he'll do for me and you. He'll send us some word that we can hear it being preached and being taught, that we can receive from God tonight. Brother, down here in verse 22, it said, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I felt an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Brother, I want you to know today, brother, we need to know the God that we serve. And I believe what John said, my sheep know my voice, and the stranger they'll not follow. That's what Jesus told them. And brother, I want you to know tonight that when we begin to listen for the voice of the Lord, and we seek God to understand the voice of the Lord, we'll begin to hear his voice, and he'll begin to lead us. He'll begin to guide us and direct us in what he wants us to do. Oh, let me tell you, all these other gods, they couldn't give these people the answers they needed. They couldn't give them the answers to eternal life that they needed. But Paul was telling them about one that could give them the answer, not just give them the answer, but was the answer to eternal life. Brother, they might have been into idolatry. country, but they had a soul just like you and I have got tonight. Brother, and Jesus died for them. Brother, and he raised again from the dead on the third and appointed morning that they might be born again if they would only believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to whom, therefore ye ignorantly worship, him to cry unto you. Brother, they ignorantly worshiped this unknown God. But brother, I want you to know, I believe if Paul would have had his way, he would have had everybody there, brother, to know who Jesus was. But I want you to know today that there's some people, there's some people, brother, they won't have it. But, brother, I want you to know there's people today that no matter where you go and you begin to preach Christ to them, brother, they some people, brother, that will have it. That reminds me of Lydia. Brother, the Bible said that they went down by the river and said prayer would want to be made. And they began to pray, and they began to see God. And the Bible said the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, and she received the gospel. She was a seller of purple. And brother, I want you to know today that there's people that God will open the heart, brother, that they'll receive tonight. Brother, there's people in the idolatry tonight, brother, that needs to come out of it. Brother, there's people in the idolatry that are seeking their God. But brother, if they would turn from seeking that God that they have sought for so long and turned to the true and the living God, brother, they would begin to receive tonight. Brother, I want you to know that God is one to be feared. He's not one to be afraid of, but he's one to be feared, to be reverenced above all. And brother, I want you to know, brother, when somebody comes to him and begins to call on his name, brother, he'll be found to them. When they search for him with all of their heart, brother, I want you to know tonight that God, brother, is waiting, brother, for somebody to say, Lord, it's like Isaiah. When Isaiah was praying in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, he saw a vision of the Lord sitting on his throne, and he heard the Lord saying, who will go? Who shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Brother, I want you to know tonight that God is waiting for somebody that he can show himself to. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth, searching for someone that he could show himself strong in their behalf. And brother, I'll tell you tonight, when we begin to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, the Bible said that in due season we shall be exalted if we faint not. Oh, let me tell you tonight, honey, God knows us. He knows the people that's in idolatry. He knows the people that's worshiping other gods. But if they'll turn from them other gods and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, brother, he'll hear them. If they'll get down and ask God to save them and come into their life, brother, he'll come into their life. He'll save them tonight, brother, and they can begin to call on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll be here. He'll hear them, and brother, he'll begin to answer their prayers. Oh, let me tell you tonight, brother, an idol's nothing but brother, a rock. Oh, it's a man-made object, brother, that people fall down and worship, that they pay homage to. But brother, I want you to know tonight, brother, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not a man-made thing, but he is a man. He was sent from God, brother, to come into this world, and he was born as a man. He lived as a man. He ministered as a man for 33 and a half years thereabouts, and he gave his life on the cross, and bless God, when he gave his life, brother, he was buried, and on the third appointed morning, he raised up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And brother, I want you to know tonight that he come. Brother, you can't see him with your head, with your eyes,
take the tail of him with your hand. But, brother, when he walked on the earth, the Bible said we upheld him with our hand. He said, and he became flesh and dwells among us. Oh, let me tell you today, but right now he's gone back and seated at the right hand of the Father. That brother, but he said, whoever would call on him would be saved. Oh, I'll tell you tonight, he may not, we may not be able to see him with our eyes. We may not be able to, brother, fill him with our hand. But, brother, we sure know, brother, that when his presence is around, because, brother, of our spirit, we know that we pass from death into life, the Bible said, because we love the brethren. Oh, let me tell you today, brother, Jesus is awaiting today, brother, for people to call on him. It's his good pleasure, brother, for somebody to come unto him and call on his name. And, brother, I want you to know, brother, if you only believe, brother, if thou only believe, thou shalt be saved. It's that God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, and though he needed anything, since he giveth all life and breath and all things. Brother, we can't worship him with our hand. Brother, we can't handle him with our hand. Brother, and he don't need us. Brother, anything that we got. But brother, he what he wants to do, brother, is begin for us to look to him and call on his name. Brother, I want you to know that when anybody, brother, let's go back to Israel there for a minute. Brother, the worst thing that Israel ever got into, brother, was idolatry. After they began to give up on God and turn from God, they began to turn to idolatry. Brother, and they began to set up these other gods in these high places. And brother, I want you to know it was abomination in the eyes of Almighty God. And brother, I want you to know tonight that because they went further and further into it, and brother, it got so bad that they would take their own children and they would burn them to these idols. And brother, these idols demanded blood of them. And brother, I want you to know today, brother, that they wouldn't be satisfied. But brother, whenever that they would burn their children, brother, God, he spoke against this, and he told them, he rebuked them for burning it. Even the children of Israel began to burn their children in the fire and to Moloch and Ashtaroth and these other gods. Oh, let me tell you tonight, brother, God don't want us to burn our children, but God wants our heart to turn to him. He wants to come in and be in our life and lead us and guide us. And verse 26 says, but let me get back up here just a minute. He giveth to all life and breath and all things. Brother God, he gives you the breath that's in your body. Brother, I'll tell you, all he'd have to do, brother, is take that breath, and you would no longer be breathing. Brother, and I want you to know today, brother, that life would flow out of your body. But brother, I want you to know today, when you begin, brother, to serve him, brother, God begins to bless you, and God begins to lift you up and encourage you, and he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of the habitation. Brother, there's only one blood today. There's many nations on the face of the earth, but there's only one blood today. And bless God, I'll tell you today, the Bible said that the life is in the blood, and Jesus gave his life for whosoever will. And that means whosoever, that's whoever will hear the message and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, to you and your children, as many as be afar off, as many as the Lord thy God shall call. You might say, yeah, but he may not be calling me. The Bible said, whoever comes to him, he would in no likewise cast out. Oh, I'll tell you today that Jesus is ready and able and he's willing today, brother, to reach out and take hold of you, brother, and to pull you up and set you, I believe it was, the psalmist said, he's taken me out of the miry clay and set me on a solid rock, and that's just what he'll do for you today. He'll take you out, brother, of that miry clay. He'll set you on a solid rock. He'll be your buckler. He'll be your high tower. Brother, he'll send his angels to watch over you. Let me tell you today, God has angels enough to protect all his children today. The Bible said he gives his angels charge over thee, and in their hand they'll bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Brother, he said in the book of Hebrews, he said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? And they come and minister to us that we might walk in the will of God, that we might be able to walk a Christian walk. And they come. It's like Daniel, whenever that he began to make his petition to God after they had went to the king and had the king to sign a law that no man would ask anything of any god or any other man. Brother, and if he did, he'd be cast alive into the lake, into the den of lions. And the king signed it. And brother, they went by and they saw Daniel. When he knew that the king had signed the law, he went ahead and he prayed anyway. He had opened his window toward Jerusalem, and he had begun to pray toward Jerusalem. And brother, they found out one day that he was doing that, and they went to the king and they asked him, said, didn't you sign this law that if any man ask anything of any god or any other man, that he'd be cast into the den of lions? And the king knew then what he had done and what they were trying to do. He said, yeah, and they said, well, we've got to put him in the den of lions. You see, they're trying to destroy Daniel. But let me tell you what, God had something else in mind for Daniel. God wasn't through with Daniel yet. And I want you to know tonight that they took Daniel and they put him in the den of lions and they left him there. And the king told him, he said, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he shall deliver thee. And I want you to know they put him in there and they sealed him out of that cave. That den, brother, and they sealed it with their signets. And brother, whenever the next morning the king, before that night, he passed the night fasting and looking for a way to get Daniel out of this. But let me tell you, somebody might say, well, it was too late. Brother, let me tell you something. We might think it's too late, but brother, that don't mean that it's too late, because God's time, it may not be our time. And brother, God knows what he's doing. And the next morning, the king went down there, and he hollered at Daniel. He said, Daniel is our God, whom thou servest able to deliver thee. And Daniel spoke to him. Well, let me tell you, I can imagine that king sighed a sigh of relief. But Daniel worshipped the true and the living God. Daniel didn't go out and worship all these idol gods. But God was found in him, and God kept him, and God took care of him, brother, right when he needed it. Brother, God is a God tonight that he works miracles. Let me tell you what, brother, God, he said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? He said in verse 27 here that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. God is not far. He's just a word from out of your mouth. What I'm saying is, brother, when you begin to open your mouth and you begin to talk to him, he's listening to you. Brother, and all you've got to do is come to him. Brother, and he'll come to you. He'll meet you more, brother, than halfway. Let me tell you today, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. seek him. God is a-wanting tonight for people to turn from their idols and turn from anything, brother, that's keeping them from turning to him. And, brother, turn to him with their whole heart. God is wanting to show himself tonight to people that would want him to. He wants to show himself even to the people that don't want to, but God won't force himself on anybody. Let me tell you tonight, he said that we might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Brother, I want you to know today, when the presence of God comes into a place, you can feel the presence of God. You can even get in a place by yourself a lot of times, and you can feel the presence of God, because God wants us to know and be assured that he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, but I'll be with you all the way even to the end. And brother, God wants us to know that he is with us. He wants us to understand that he's right there with us. Let me tell you today, he said, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We're the offspring of God. When we were born again into the family of God, that made us a son or a daughter of God, whichever the case might be. Let me tell you today, the Bible said that the Spirit in us cries, Abba, Father. We can call God Father because he is our Father tonight. We've been adopted into the family of God through the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And God wants to adopt you into the family of God. God wants to bless you. He said, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone given by art and man's device and the times of this ignorance God went at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Oh, let me tell you today, brother, there's a lot of people. They think that God is a God made of material things, but God, the Bible said in the book of John that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't see him with your eyes, you can't handle him with your hand, but you know in your spirit, the part of you that's you, you know it's like Oral Roberts used to say, I know that I know that I know. Brother, when God begins to move, and you know it in yourself, and you don't have to have somebody to tell you. Let me tell you tonight, he once winked at this ignorance of idolatry, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. That man is Christ Jesus, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given an assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we review thee again of this matter. You see, they didn't know what being raised from the dead was. An idol can't raise you from the dead, but the Lord Jesus Christ can. And one day he will. He told them, he said, the time would come when all that are in the grave would hear my voice, and they would come forth, some unto the resurrection of life, and some unto the resurrection of damnation. Let me tell you tonight, folks, that this man called Jesus, brother, he died and rose again, brother, that we could come unto God. Let me tell you, let me read two or three more verses of Scripture, and I'll get off of here and turn it back to Brother Gilbert. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Now listen to this. Among all these people that was in the idolatry and that was disputing with Paul, brother, he said, howbeit certain men claiming to him and believed, among the which was Dionysius and Areopagus and the woman called Amaris and others with them. They was people right there that believed on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. They believed, and brother, I believe they got out and they began to assemble themselves together, brother, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Oh, listen to me tonight, folks. If you're in the idol worship, I want to encourage you to begin to turn from that and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, you would go ahead.
Amen. Appreciate that, Brother Eddie. That's a wonderful word of God. That's the truth. We're going to ask Tim to sing another song, and Brother Green, we'll get you on there then next, or Sister Green, whichever one.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that song. So we'll get you, Brother Green, come on there now and just obey the Lord.
Okay, Brother Earwood, it's good to be with you tonight. I'm glad to be on the Lord's side. Praise God. We're preaching tonight on No Other Gods Before Thee. I want to go ahead and read here in the 20th chapter of Exodus. I think Brother John may have read this, but I just want to get started here in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And I want you to know here that God says if we don't do things His way, if we don't go by His precepts, and we don't go by His word, in the Old Testament there, talking to the nation of Israel, He said if they didn't do it His way, then there in verse 5, He said, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And this part here, in the last there, says of them that hate me. And so He declares unto the nation of Israel that if they don't do what He told them to do, then they're hating God. And we got today a lot
Amen.
Of people out there that hate God. They say they love God, but they, in their works, they deny Him many times, and they do things that they shouldn't be doing. Praise God. And, and verse 7 here of the 20th chapter, and I see this a lot of times, seem like, out in the world today. It says, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And I tell you, today, when you get out in the world, seem like no matter where you go, you know, you don't have to be around somebody very long and you hear these cuss words coming out of their mouth. And they even take the name of the Lord in vain. The name of Jesus Christ they take in vain, and they use Him as a cuss word, and they say things that God is not pleased with. And God said that He would not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain. And I don't know if you're out there tonight. Somebody may be out there today listening into the broadcast, and maybe you claim to be a Christian, and I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but I'm saying that you better, if you're doing this, if you're taking the name of the Lord in vain and you're using God, God's name as a cuss word, you're not going to be held guiltless, and you need to clean that up and get that out of your life. And maybe you need to fast, you know, and pray till you can overcome whatever this is that's causing you to do that. I was standing in line the other day at a license bureau, and I walked up there. I was going to get a tag or a title for something I had, and I'd lost the title. And I went up there, and there was a man standing there, and immediately he began to talk to me while we was waiting in line, and he began to swear. Different words are coming out of his mouth, and I said, I can tell you're not a Christian, are you? And he said, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I gave my heart to the Lord 5 years ago, and I go to the same church as one of the people that worked in there, and he was trying to point out who it was. And he said, I only get this way when I get angry, and the more I talk about it, the angrier I get. Well, I can tell you that the Bible tells us that we're not the children of wrath anymore. I can tell you today that if we're born again, if our heart's been changed, if our heart's right with God, we won't be taking the name of the Lord in vain.
Amen.
Saying all these bad words and curse words and slang words that mean something that's not right. But I tell you, we gotta get it right, praise God. If we're going to go to heaven, we're not going to go there living in sin. We're not going to make it if we live that way. But we've got to come out from amongst the world, the Bible says. And we've got to live a different life, and we've got to live the one that God prescribed for us, praise God. And I want to read something else here in Deuteronomy 4:14. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth upon the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. So God wanted them people to be separated from the other people that was in the world, that were worshiping idols, that were doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And I was thinking about, you know, Samuel. Samuel got in trouble with God. You know, he was the first king of Israel. And Samuel went and found him a witch. And the Bible said in 1 Samuel 28, the Bible says here, let's see. Then said Saul unto his servants in verse 7 of 28, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up whom I shall name unto thee. So he went to this woman that had the familiar spirit, and he had once served God, but he had turned away from God, and he had tried to kill David. Murder had came into his heart, and he began to sin against God and tried to kill God's anointed, although he also was anointed, and David would not touch him because God had anointed Saul to be the first king of Israel. But now Saul has found him a woman with a familiar spirit, and he's trying to inquire of her what he should do. He's fighting the Philistines. He's in a bad predicament. He thinks he's going to go to this witch, and it's going to do him some good. But I'm telling you tonight, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go to no witches, praise God. You don't want to go to no palm readers. And you don't want to go to none of these houses where they got advisor, a big sign out there, and card readers and things, because they're dealing in witchcraft and they're dealing with familiar spirits. And
amen.
Praise God. And God is against this, and he had drove the familiar spirits out of Israel, commanded them, the leaders of Israel, not to have any dealings with those that had familiar spirits, and not to even allow them to be in the land. In fact of the matter, he told them back then, of course, they was under the law. Things was different then than it is now, but he said to suffer not a witch to live. But I'm not telling you that you're supposed to go out and kill witches and people that ain't right, because that'd be sin. That would be murder, and that wouldn't be right. It's not the fact that, you know, that they're bad people or nothing. It's the fact that some of them's just caught up in things that they don't know nothing about, and they don't know nothing about God and haven't heard enough about God to know that there is a true and a living God, one that can bring them out of darkness, one that can break that stronghold. I was thinking, you know, Paul preached, you know, and that woman followed him around there, praise God, in the book of Acts. But, you know, he turned one day, and he rebuked that spirit and commanded it to come out of her. The Bible said it came out the same hour, and when the hope of their ruler or the ones that owned her saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they made trouble for Paul, and I believe it was Silas, Paul and Silas, praise God. Praise God, but I'll tell you, praise God, the Lord is greater than all these false gods that's in the land today. He can do what no other power can do, and he can heal your body. You don't want to make friends with the devil thinking that he's going to be nice to you. You may work for him. Praise God, you may be out there listening tonight. Maybe you're working for the devil, but I'm telling you, you better cut ties with the devil, praise God.
Amen.
And get away from that, what you're into. If you're into people that's got familiar spirits, I tell you, they've got some power, and you need greater power. And what you need is the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. What you need is separation from the powers of darkness and to separate into the kingdom of God. I was thinking, you know, I don't carry a rabbit's foot for good luck. I don't carry Lucky Charms, and I don't knock on wood. You know what I mean. I was talking to a man the other day, and he said, knock on wood. He was telling me something, and he said, knock on wood. In other words, he thought that wood, knocking on wood, is going to help him or something, I guess. I said, you better not be doing that. I said, you better be thanking God is what you need to be doing. I said it in a nice way. I didn't try to rile a man up or nothing. People just don't know, but you don't knock on wood, and you don't pray to, false gods. You don't play Ouija boards and wish upon a star and, things like that. I don't believe in Peter Cottontail and Santa Claus and all this stuff that they got going on today, and then they carried a lot of it over into the church. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. But now they got this man dressed up with a white beard and a big red suit, and he said, come here, little children, what do you want for Christmas? Praise God, like he's got some kind of power that he can he can read their mind. He knows when they're good or bad, and he's trying to take the place of God. I tell you, there's Antichrist spirits, and we better wise up, I tell you. And there's witchcraft in the land, and it's getting into the churches. You wouldn't let a witch come into your church and put on some kind of a magic show or something like that, because if you did, you'd be getting in trouble with God, because if he was against it in the Old Testament, I'll guarantee you he's against it today. I'll guarantee you we're supposed to live right and walk right and talk right, and we're supposed to spit white, and we're supposed to lay aside the weights and the sins that try to get us off the track and get us off, to get us out of the way. And I want to read one more passage of Scripture to you here, 2 Corinthians 6, and 14, it says here, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. But I want you to know, first of all, he said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'm thinking now he's mostly talking about marriage. If you're a young man or a young lady and you're Christian, well, I think you should try to find you a Christian, praise God, so you'll have harmony and you'll have peace in your home. And also he's telling us not to be going places and eating and drinking, things that's been offered to idols and that kind of thing, to come out from among them. And what concord, he said here, what agreements, what that means, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, that's unbelievers, there's a question mark, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God. See, we're the temple of God. He moved out of that house over there in Jerusalem. He moved out of there. He moved out, and on the day of Pentecost, he came into the hearts of men. He came in, took up his abode with that 120 in the upper room, and he's taken up his abode today. Well, I'm going to cut it short here, but I want one more verse to go with what I just read. And we get down here to verse 18. It says, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. But and it goes to chapter 7, but I want to throw verse 1 in. Here it says, saith the Lord Almighty, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So let's do that, church. Let's cleanse ourselves from all of that filthiness, and let's lay aside these things that's hindering our walk with God, and let's run this race looking to Jesus. And now I'll turn it back to you, brother. Yearwood's been good to be on here tonight.
Okay, appreciate that, Brother Green. Sister Green, got anything you want to say?
Do you?
Maybe next time.
She said maybe next time.
Okay. All right, well, I think Betty's got something here. She's wanting to read and say something here, so we'll turn it to Betty right now.
I'm going to read from Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I thank God tonight for this broadcast and for the words that's been read and the words been ministered here tonight. I tell you, God's been in the moving in the business here tonight. So you got a song you want to sing, Tim? Praise the Lord. Tim's going to sing another song here. Praise God. Hallelujah.
History is full of man's achievements. Proud are all these ventures at the very best. While we toast our success, you create another day. And I can see how you might be amused. Centuries have raised up gods and heroes. People lift their bid for immortality. While you now and eternally are the great I am, forever is the dominion you bring. You are the one immortal king. There is no equal to you, O God. Above all others, supremely you reign. The whole of heaven and earth stands in awe. Oh, God. Who can claim this planet as their enterprise? No one else is master of the master plan. Only you speak the word and the law of nature change. And even time runs its course to your throne. Hurry, we'll bow to you alone. There is no equal to you, O God. Above all others, supremely you reign. The whole of heaven and earth stands in awe. There is no equal to you, O God.
Is that
appreciate that. Appreciate the wonderful singing. If you got your Bibles, I know Brother John done read part of this, but I'm going to read some of it there, too. It's in Exodus 20th chapter, and starting in verse 1 and go through down through 6, and if time permit, I've got some other scriptures. But starting in verse 1, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that have me, that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of that them that love me and keep my commandments." You know, the title of our message tonight is "Not Have No Other Gods Before Me." You know, it seems like a lot of times today that we're seeming to hear about a lot of people having a lot of gods. There's, you know, they're saying there's more than one way and to get into the kingdom of God, but there's no other way. But Jesus said, "I am the way." Hallelujah, glory to God. "I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life, and no man can go into the Father except through me." And, you know, Jesus is telling us there, and this word told us here that God was a jealous God. And, you know, I tell you what, he's a jealous God, and he's not pleased with all of these other gods that people have got that they're bowed down to. Them that they'll get down and bow down, face to the ground, and lick the dirt or whatever they're doing, and saying that they're getting a God. My friend, it makes me think about over here whenever Elijah over here in 2 Kings and 18 and 21, praise God, started out there. Elijah made fun of their of all of them people there. He went and after they made their offerings and everything, their burnt offerings. I'll let Betty read it here. Praise God. Hallelujah.
1 Kings 18:21-40. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah to the people, I remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks. Let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the evening, of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And he did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And he did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon, and slew them there.
Amen. Now, praise the Lord. You know, Elijah there, he knew that his God was going to answer. And he knew he was going to answer by fire. And you know, Baal there, I think it was 400 of them. And they were crying out to their God and praying and everything. But there wasn't nothing, that would answer. You know, they didn't even hear a voice. Nothing. And, you know, I like it. And Elijah told them how to repair his altar and everything, and how to pour four barrels of water three times under the over the altar and over the burnt altar. And praise God, whenever he cried out to God, God sent the fire down to answer and let him know and let the people know that he was the God. And, you know, I tell you what, I think today a lot of times the gods that people are crying out to, they don't get a correct answer. They don't get an answer from God because they're crying out to the wrong God. But I tell you what, if they would start crying out to the right God, cry out to Elijah's God, cry out to the God of this heavens and this earth, praise God, and quit trying to make them an altar of a sacrifice of a clown or something. Quit trying to whittle out a God out of a tree. But call out on the real and the living true God that's sitting in the heavens. I tell you what, people are going to have to cry out to God if they want to make heaven their home. They're going to have to realize that Baal ain't nothing. Baal was just nothing but just something for a bunch of people to worship, but they didn't hear no voice. Elijah said maybe he's going on a trip, or maybe he's going to sleep and he needs to be wakened. Maybe he's a provincial, but I tell you what, whenever they called up on the real and true living God, God answered, and he answered by fire. And my friend, and we see how all of them fell down and began to worship. They know then who was the real God, but Elijah took all of them down there, all of Baal's servers down there, and killed them, and done as God told them to do. And that's what we need to be doing today. I'm doing as God tells us to do. I'm not saying go and kill anybody, but I'm saying kill that spirit. God tells us that we are to destroy the works of the devil, and we have the power, according to 1 John over there. I believe about the second or third chapter over there in 1 John, it said that that God was created, Jesus was created to destroy the works of the devil, and he give us the same power. Whenever we ask him to come into our life, he give us the same power to go out and destroy the works of the devil. And we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be crying out to God, saying, Lord, have mercy on me that I'll be able to tear down the works of the devil, that I'll be able to glorify my Father which is in heaven. I praise God. I tell you what, it's a time. It's a high time today that we really, the born again believers, really get busy getting to do something that God has called us into doing. God has called us and he sent us forth to do the works of him. And we need to get busy about our Father's business. We need to go and declare the works of God upon this world, that we can see the works of God and see them be manifested, and see people touched and blessed. I see people healed and set free. I see them delivered. I tell you what, God is calling people this day and time. He's sending us forth to cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead. I tell you, I believe God's word is telling us, everyone, that we need to be obedient. We need to hear the voice of God. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and strangers will not follow. We hear a voice. I was telling somebody the other day, if we hear a voice that's contrary to God's word, we know that that's not of God. God's word is fully controlled. It's fully in agreement with his word, and we need to be in agreement with his word. We need to walk up according to his word and be a part of him. Praise God. Let him live in us. Let him shine out through us that we can have this life, that we can please God. I tell you, it's a time that we really turn our lives over to God and really let him have full charge of us and let us do the works of pleasing to him. Hallelujah. I see that we've got about 5 minutes here, so I think I'll let Betty read this she's got here.
I just wanted to say a few more things. Anything that you put before God is an idol, and God has to be number one in your life. He won't settle for number two. It's either God or the devil, and it's either heaven or hell. Matthew 6:24 says, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I won't serve a dead God. I want to serve the true living God, and the one that took time to die on the cross for my sins. So we need to take time for God and put God first in our lives. And if there's anybody out there that don't know God, I just pray that they'll ask God to forgive them tonight and ask God to come into their life and make God number one in their life.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I appreciate that. Brother John?
Yeah, brother.
Now, you're saying that we got about 4 minutes left. Have you got anything you'd like to say there? You're sounding good now.
I don't know if it was brought out earlier, but, you know, it was talking about in the book of Romans, the first chapter, and this is a present-day prophetic utterances. Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Rome. This was what was happening in Rome in the time of the Apostle Paul. And it says, since we're the invisible things, in verse 20 of chapter 1, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. We changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And, you know, what was happening there in the Rome at that time is they began to worship basically themselves. They began to give themselves and each other in a wrong way, in a wrong fashion. And as Brother Yearwood, as you brought out, Brother Green brought out, and Brother Eddie brought out, and that. You know, that there was no image to be made in any likeness of anything under the heaven or in heaven or under the sea. And so, but what we were instructed there, the Bible says in the beginning there that we were made in his image. We were made in God's image. What has happened is man has turned that around, and with four-footed beasts and these things here, they're doing the same thing at Rome. What they're doing present day is, they were made trying to make God in a man's image. Man's image. In other words, even though we were created in the image of God, what we have done is we've made God in the image, in the image of man. And so today we have a choice, and we've been made in his shadow. We've been made in the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been made, just like Brother Eddie brought out, God is a spirit. It's the spiritual man that is made in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ took on flesh. He was God manifested in flesh, received in the glory, preached unto the Gentiles. And so today we have the choice for these last few minutes. We have a choice to choose that one true God, living God. There's only one God today. And just like you brought out, Brother Yearwood, Jesus Christ, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You know, one of the speakers, I believe, was Sister Frieda, brought out that there's only one God, Father of all. So tonight, there is only one God, Father of all. There's only one faith, only one baptism. Now, one true living God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one we choose, just like Sister Betty brought out. You know, there is no other God but the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're just coming to Him, He'll make provision, complete provision for all of us. And this is what we're all about. This is what this broadcast is about, is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, after this broadcast, that we know that we have no other gods before us but the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's time to serve Him and to serve Him completely with our whole heart, with our whole mind, with everything that's within us. And on these two things is the complete law. Amen. We just need to love Him, amen, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. And if we do it on these two things, we'll have the completeness that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Appreciate that. We've got about 10 seconds said left. I want to say that I appreciate each and every one that called in tonight, and the ones that emailed us in and listening to us from out in Arizona. So God bless you, and we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you there next week. We just now went off the air.
God bless everybody.